Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From New York City, the only city in America, it's the show that invented news. This is The Daily Show with your host, D.L. Hughley.
Welcome to The Daily Show. I am D.L. Hughley. The producers wanted me to take my glasses off because they were red, but they realized my eyes were just as red, so... This is the upgrade. A lot of people from the UN here. That's great. Get yourselves a round of applause. That's great. You know, it's funny because in America, we don't tend to know a lot about the rest of the world. Like, we'll have a world championship with just us in it. It'd be New York versus L.A. for the world championship, wouldn't it? We got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk, of course, about the news. And P.J. Morton is going to perform a wonderful song. P.J. Morton, yeah, 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 yeah. But, of course, first, we need to get into the headlines. We're going to begin with more fallout from the killing of Tyree Nichols, because the story is certainly not over. A seventh cop got suspended and two EMTs and a fire truck driver. They were fired for not helping Tyree fast enough. But the real sign that this story is not going anywhere anytime soon is that Tucker Carlson, you know, the grown dude with the bangs. This dude keeps finding stupid shit to say.
The race riots of 2020, of course, were never about George Floyd. Obviously, that's why there are no statues of him in American cities.
This dude is so obsessed with black people, I'm gonna start calling him Sickle Cell. Look at the UN, that's not funny. We need to be clear, if George Floyd didn't get a statue, it might be because to get a statue in this country, you got to do some pretty horrible shit to black people. Like, you can get one for slaughtering 300 black prisoners during the Civil War. You can get one for conducting medical experiments on enslaved black women without anesthesia. And the last guy, he got a statue without killing black people, but he did beat the shit out of Apollo Creed. That was Rocky, so... And then Drago killed Rocky. He got a statue. It was messy. By the way, I'm sure it'll shock Tucker to know that George Floyd does have statues all around the country. But you didn't recognize him because that looks like LeVar Burton right there. He fell off so he didn't get that Jeopardy gig. That's crazy. Are y'all gonna be with me or not? Let's pick a side. You're the UN. You have to pick a side. That's your job. All right, let's move on to more news. The tech world, there were layoffs. Of course, every tech company is letting people go. There's Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Facebook. I even saw Siri begging for change in the subway this morning. I was like, Alexa, will you get this bitch a quarter, please? It's crazy. Okay. I think I know where the line is now. And surely there's no good way to fire your employees, but there's definitely some pretty bad ways, as one CEO just found out.
The CEO of a tech company based in San Francisco has posted an apology after she quoted Martin Luther King Jr. in a layoff letter sent to employees last week. PagerDuty CEO Jennifer Tejada sent the letter to employees announcing layoffs on Thursday. Toward the end of the letter, Tejada closed with the words of Martin Luther King Jr., saying in part, "I am reminded in moments like this of something Martin Luther King said, that the ultimate measure of a leader is not where they stand in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy."
With Martin Luther King quotes, like, "I've been to the mountaintop and they ain't hiring either." "I have a dream and you can too, because there ain't no reason for you to get up early anymore. So, free at last, free at last. Here's your severance package. You are free at last." But to be fair, she did find a way to say that she was sorry.
After facing negative feedback, Tejada posted an apology letter to the company's website saying, quote, "There are a number of things I would do differently if I could. The quote I included from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was inappropriate and insensitive. I am sorry."
Yeah. After the King thing didn't work, she went to the words of Adolf Hitler and said, "I blame the Jews." Hey, come on, mother. I'm not Kanye. It's just a joke. Relax. And speaking of Hitler, there are some people in Ohio who are getting in big trouble for their ideas on what to teach children.
Multiple online news sources are reporting that an Ohio couple is supplying Nazi-approved material for homeschooling.
New details are emerging tonight about an online channel called Dissident Homeschool. The channel already has more than 2,000 subscribers. According to Yahoo News, it includes ready-made lesson plans on various subjects like Confederate General Robert E. Lee and Martin Luther King Jr., who they say is the antithesis of our civilization and our people. It also includes things like printouts so students can learn to write Adolf Hitler quotes in cursive and tips to, quote, avoid Jewish media content.
Wow. Antithesis. I got a GED. What does that mean? I don't want nobody calling me a name. I don't understand. homeschool kids are already weird enough. You don't want to add goose stepping to the program. That's crazy. All right, so for more on this school, let's go to Desi Leidick, who's live in Ohio. Desi, how are the parents feeling about this story?
They are furious,
oh, wow.
DL, as am I. These lesson plans are shocking. They teach hate. They teach racism. They teach cursive. It's disgusting.
Wait. Was that last one cursive?
I know. Can you imagine in 2023 American children learning cursive? It's useless. The only acceptable time to use cursive is when you're forging a bank signature.
Wait a minute. Your problem with the Nazi school is that they're teaching cursive?
Well, I mean, it's not my only problem. Nazism is one of the world's most evil ideologies.
Yes.
But have you seen cursive, DL? I mean, look at how you're supposed to write a Q. What is that? Is that a Q? It's a 2. All these Nazis are going to accidentally join QAnon. And look at the G. It looks like a diagram of my least favorite sexual position. You all know the one.
Desi, I think the bigger danger is that the school is spreading Nazi ideas.
Not if they're writing those ideas out in cursive. I mean, that's not gonna get the message out. Here, look what I wrote about the Jews. All I'm saying here is squiggle, loop, loop, reverse cowgirl. What? Oh, I'm the only one.
Desi, I don't think cursive is the problem. I know how to write in cursive.
Like a Nazi? DL, for your sake, I really hope you've just been forging bank signatures.
You know what? Forget it. Desi Leidick, everyone. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Jordan Klepper will check in on Trump's new campaign, and you don't want to miss that.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes. We can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. Now, of course, last weekend, Donald Trump made his first campaign stops of the 2024 presidential race. Jordan Klepper followed him there for another episode of Fingers the Pulse.
This past weekend, Donald Trump finally hit the campaign trail. So I headed down to South Carolina for what was originally permitted as a MAGA rally, but later downgraded to an intimate event.
What is this event?
It's a Trump rally.
It is a rally.
I'd say it was.
It's not a rally.
It's somewhat of a rally, but it's not a big rally.
Now, I thought it was a rally.
It's not a rally. It's a bunch of people standing in line.
It's an event. It's a list. It's invited list only.
This is a private event that VIPs have been invited to.
Yes, only heavily vetted VIPs were invited, like this guy.
Sombrero Trump, Jim Yates from Lawrence, South Carolina.
Sombrero Trump.
Yes, it's not a rally. It's a leadership forming leadership teams.
I see a guy like this, and I think this guy's got two dates circled on his calendar. Cinco de Mayo. And January 6th.
Yeah.
This kickoff was packed with classic style and classic takes.
Donald Trump is president right now.
He's currently the president.
Absolutely.
He is still president. There's a lot of things that this Biden person does not have, like the presidential seal and things like that, that are pretty obvious.
But Biden doesn't have the presidential seal?
No.
When he speaks, there's a presidential seal in front of him.
It's not real.
What is he doing as president?
He is in charge of the military.
Great.
The military is in charge of this whole thing.
The military were put in charge in 2018 when President Trump signed an executive order.
The American military arms that are going to Ukraine, we have Donald Trump to thank for that?
No.
That's
two militaries.
There's two militaries.
There's a good and a bad.
So there's two militaries. Donald Trump's in charge of the good one.
Yes.
Biden's in charge of the bad military?
That's exactly right.
Fortunately, there were some supporters who still believe an election cycle is actually necessary and were serious about planning for a long campaign.
It's just been doing a lot of preparations, a lot of testing the waters, and, you know, just what's normal.
Talking to advisors?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nick Fuentes, Kanye West, the minds that are going to shape the point of view of this whole campaign.
Right. Yeah.
The original Trump brand is still strong.
Sweet as honey, that guy, huh?
Yeah.
Mr. When the looting starts, that's when the shooting starts.
But a new election cycle could mean a different tone.
What are you seeing that is different about Trump and his tone with this kind of an event?
I think it's more elevated. He's at a more kind of a mature level. How everybody's got all their advisors, it's almost like he's finally listening to his a little bit as far as tone the comments down.
Are you noticing even the MAGA community being
they're great.
Serious and respectable?
If you watch the conservative rhetoric, it looks like you still love America.
Conservative rhetoric still respects positions of power in this country.
Our police, our military.
Our executive branch.
Exactly.
What's your hat say?
I don't remember. I could shit a better president.
This campaign is already attacking Biden's approach to the war in Ukraine, while lauding Trump's brilliant, yet still theoretical approach.
Putin would have never, ever gone in. And even now, I could solve that in 24 hours.
Trump says he could pick up the phone and end this thing in 24 hours. What actually would he say?
Knock it off. He'd kind of be that kind of tone to him.
You think totally knock it off might cower Vladimir Putin?
Because he knows Trump stands up and says, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it.
So you wish Biden would threaten nuclear war?
No, no.
No.
Strong stance of, hey, stop doing this.
Okay. Or?
You gotta have a rattle behind that saber.
Right, which is?
Troops, but you don't want to do troops
right.
Because then you have all that war.
Right, so what would it be?
Threat of it.
Threat of troops.
Correct.
So you want Trump to get into office and promise to put troops into that war?
No, I want him to stop it verbally, because you don't want military into it, because then it escalates.
Right, but you said verbally you have to have some sort of backup.
Correct.
So you want Trump to have that backup, which would be not troops?
No, he has the troops.
So you would support troops being sent in?
You don't want to send troops in.
It seems like a complicated situation.
It is very complicated.
Fortunately for some of these non-rally goers, it doesn't have to be that complicated.
I haven't seen any news reports about, you know, this terrible war in Ukraine.
Where do you get your news?
Newsmax.
And they haven't covered it at all?
I think that there's no war to cover. I think the whole thing is fabricated, and I think that Zelensky, who's the president of Ukraine, I believe that this is all extortion money.
I spent a little time in Hungary, and I met people who were coming from Ukraine to try to find safe haven. Mm-hmm. They were actual refugees fleeing what they said was a war zone. Were they lying?
I just think they might be actors, as far as I know. I believe that they might be actors.
All of those people I met in Hungary, those aren't refugees.
I believe that the government is paying them to do that.
That's a lot of actors. If that's a SAG gig, that's going to cost you billions.
And if this is the Trump campaign's first round of invites, America is in for a sweet, sweet ride.
Thank you, Jordan. All right, stay tuned, because when we come back, PJ Morton will be joining us on the show, and you do not want to go away.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Daily Show. My next guest is a Grammy Award-winning songwriter, singer, producer, and keyboardist for Maroon 5, here to talk about his latest solo album, Watch the Sun. Please welcome PJ Morton.
Hey, my man.
I don't need to remind you the UN is here, so the world is watching right now.
Wow, literally. Okay.
Yeah. You got a lot of jobs, right? So you're gonna work no matter what.
So you I suppose so.
Singer, yeah. Songwriter, producer. Out of all of them, which one's your favorite?
Performer. I really love getting in front of people and seeing all the work and all the, you put all of this into the songs, really seeing it in real life, in real time. Performing will always be my favorite, I think.
But you're a couple of different genres. One is, of course, R&B, and
yes.
The other is gospel. What's the difference between, do you just, put Jesus in more songs?
I actually consider myself a soul artist, soul music, which I think that foundation of church.
Right.
I don't necessarily... as an artist, do explicitly gospel songs.
Do you know when a song's gonna be a gospel song as opposed to one that is more secular?
That's the thing. It come from the same place for me. Talking about a love for a person,
right.
And love for God,
right.
Comes from the same place for me. So it's not until I start saying what I'm saying,
right.
That's when I know what it is. But no, it doesn't start that way. Like something sounds gospel.
Right.
Can easily be an R&B song for me.
Because I don't go to church because the cover charge is too high.
Oh, man. Yeah, you need Jesus.
I do. Yeah. No. But they got it.
No, I got that from you.
Yeah, I stopped going to church when church came on TV on Sunday. Like, I can stay right here in the game. But I think it's important because I think that one of the things that happens with music, whether it's, secular or gospel, is that it inspires you. Like, if it's supposed to be great music, it makes you want to dance.
Yeah.
That's a classification. But if it makes you want to praise the Lord, then that's a different thing.
Beautiful thing.
But they all come from this wellspring. You have this wellspring is that based on experiences or do you just kind of?
For me, I like the songs to be a reflection of life, you know, and my life entails all of that. It entails love. It entails the weather being nice,
right,
you know.
Right,
it entails my faith.
Right.
So I talk about all those things and pull from them as I see fit, or really, I say the music tells me what to say, you know. So
you already know what the music is.
Yeah, once I start with the music and start to hear the melody, then it starts kind of tell me what it's saying, you know. And I'm just a vessel at that point, you know, trying to say what I feel and hear.
You talked about how you were inspired during the quarantine, like doing that. That was a really rough time for a lot of people, like spending that much time with your family. You know, because they're strangers. They're like, I don't even know you. Spending that much time away from everything, being with your family, off the stage, not being able to go to a studio. Some people didn't have. For some people, there wasn't a creative track to take. But you found it to be.
Nah, I feel like it's a cheat code. Like sometimes I feel guilty for having that ability to release like that.
Right.
I mean, I was able to go inward in such a tough time. But then I think the flip side of that is I'm able to speak for a lot of people who are going through that and be a voice for them, you know, and that's what I feel like my job is. So I do have an advantage in having that release, but then I share that advantage with the world, you know.
I write jokes, I write books, but the one thing about songwriters, being a songwriter is like describing a sound.
Yeah.
And it's something, I can't even understand where it comes from. But when you think of all the songs you've written, like, and the places you were in all those songs, what is the most inspirational one? What did you know? Like, the song was already ready. You knew where everything went. Like, you knew that this was going to be, go to this thing and be in this place.
Yeah, I mean, currently, I'm up for a R&B Song of the Year at the
Congratulations.
Grammys.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I will say, you know, it was the first song that I wrote on this specific album, and it kind of wrote itself. It was one of those where it's like, it's going so fast, this can't be me.
Yeah,
this can't just be me.
Right.
You know, it was a rhythm, so Please Don't Walk Away is the name of that song. And it's a special one. Just, I knew it immediately.
Why is it special?
Yeah, I knew it before it had lyrics, it was speaking. Like, we knew in the studio that it was special. Then the first thing I said, it was like, chills, you know? So it was one of those that just was moving on its own, and I'm always super grateful, you know, when
Would you
happens.
Say that's your favorite song you've ever done?
Favorite ever? I mean, right now, favorite ever is the one I'm doing here, Be Like Water.
Right.
Because
Bruce Lee said that. Wait a minute. Yeah. Did he say that?
He did. It's inspired by that and really inspired by that overall concept.
Mm-hmm.
But Stevie Wonder is my hero, and he's on that song with me.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And that would have been enough. But then Nas is also on that song with Stevie. So right now, that's my favorite song.
Wait. You got Nas, Stevie, and Jesus. You can't lose, baby.
Yeah, man, it's a dream team. It's a dream team.
Watch
for sure.
Watch the Sun is available now. Okay.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.